Thanks for being here, and thanks to my colleagues who presented before. I'm going to talk about congenital syphilis in Philadelphia, so it's more looking at syphilis from a program perspective and seeing where things are going in our area. First of all, I just want to make clear, when I talk about congenital syphilis in this presentation, I'm talking about cases that meet the CDC definition for congenital syphilis. So you may be familiar with this sort of complicated diagram, but this is how cases are decided, how whether we decide to report cases to CDC as congenital syphilis. So just to give you some background on syphilis in Philadelphia, syphilis in Philadelphia follows a trend that has been seen across the United States with pretty dramatic increases in syphilis since the 90s. most recently, however, though, we have seen increases in early syphilis, and these increases have disproportionately affected the MSM community. In this graph, you can see a little bit better the case counts between 2000 and 2007, and the pink part, the top part of the bar, shows you the number of female cases, and the bottom blue part of the bar shows the male cases. And then we have the line that shows the number of congenital cases reported by year. So what you see is, for example, in 2006, we had no congenital cases reported, and only one PNS female case reported, and all the rest were male cases. That was 124 men, one woman, and of the 124 men, 101 of them admitted to being MSM. For 2007, we had 131 males. Of those, 100 were MSM and 7 were females. So I'm going to be talking about congenital syphilis and the increases in congenital syphilis, but as you can see, we haven't seen a big problem with PNS syphilis in females, at least not yet. So the objectives of our review of those 9 cases that you saw for 2007 were to describe the characteristics of the mothers of the congenital syphilis cases and determine if any of the cases may have been prevented by a more rigorous DIS follow-up. So for example, were the mothers named on cases but we were not able to find them? More robust surveillance. If the RPR had been reported to the health department sooner, might we have been able to follow up and prevent the case? Or better compliance with the prenatal testing regulations that we have in Philadelphia. So I'm going to go over some of the maternal information that we found when we reviewed these cases. So we looked at a number of different demographic and diagnostic characteristics of the mothers. And as you can see by looking at the breakdown of race and ethnicity, 3 were white Hispanic, 1 was Hispanic, 2 African American, and 2 were Vietnamese. And that sort of relates to primary language, because when we were looking at the race and ethnicity and the primary language, we were looking to see if maybe these were people that didn't speak English and therefore that had created a barrier to care for them. And we did find that an equal number of them did not speak English or English was not their primary language. One person we could not find and it was not noted on the record that we reviewed what the primary language was. The age groups, we had 2 that were under 18 years. Unfortunately, 1 was 15 years old and a 17-year-old. We had 3 that were between the ages of 18 and 29, and 4 between the ages of 30 to 35. In the diagnosis, we had 8 early latent cases and 1 secondary case. So when we looked at the cases and pulled out all the information that we could find about them, we found that none of the mothers had been named as contacts to active cases of syphilis. So they had never been named. It wasn't as if they had been named but lost a follow-up. These people had actually never even been named on cases that had been reported in Philadelphia and interviewed by our staff. In addition, the mothers that we did interview did not name any partners who were active cases of syphilis. So I'm not, you know, I don't know what to make of that. None of them were reported as reactors or just persons with positive tests for syphilis that were lost to follow-up. But three of the mothers could not be located for an interview by our staff. So then we looked at our surveillance to see if there's something that our surveillance program could have been doing that we could have caught these cases sooner and prevented the birth of a congenital baby. So we looked to see if there was any delays in reporting, but we found that there were not any delays in reporting. We looked at, and about halfway through the year, after looking at the reporting, we decided to issue a health alert, which is something that we do in Philadelphia. It's like goes out over broadcast fax to all providers. And the point of it was to raise the index of suspicion among providers about the problem that we were seeing with congenital syphilis, and just to encourage providers to test according to the regulations. And you're probably wondering what our prenatal care testing regulations are. Actually, Philadelphia has some of the most strict regulations of any jurisdiction in the country. And it mandates a serologic test for syphilis shall be done at the first prenatal visit, and that can include at the pregnancy test, during the second trimester, at the third trimester, and then at delivery of the baby. So when we sent out our health alert, as I mentioned earlier, we made sure to tell providers that we had been seeing this increase in congenital syphilis, and we encouraged them to make sure they were testing according to regulations, and also letting them know that we were seeing this increase in congenital syphilis without first seeing an increase in syphilis among women, which was a cause for concern, and to hopefully raise their index of suspicion when they were seeing women with rashes or anything that they might think could possibly be syphilis, but they might not be considering syphilis. So unfortunately, what we found was the key risk factor was the use of prenatal care. Six of the nine mothers of the mothers who had congenital babies had no prenatal care at all. They just walked into the hospital and had a baby without having had any prenatal care. Of the three mothers that did have prenatal care, case A, as you can see, the first prenatal visit was within 1 month of the baby's birth. And so I think she was recognized there, was treated, but unfortunately the CDC case definition says you have to treat 30 days before the birth, or else you have to call it a case. In case B, this is someone who actually did convert, her blood test did convert while she was pregnant. She walked in with a positive RPR and a rash related to secondary syphilis during her prenatal care. So she was getting prenatal care. But again, they treated her, but then the baby was born 21 days after the treatment. And case C is a really sort of a strange one. The mother had a history, and had a history with adequate treatment. She was serafast. Her titer increased one dilution during her pregnancy, but they did not see any symptoms, so the doctor made the decision not to retreat her. But the baby was born with symptoms of syphilis, a body rash, and long bone deformity. So it's a very curious case, but that, you know, we have to call it a case with the baby having the symptoms. So, our investigation did not find noncompliance with prenatal testing regulations, but the mothers of the congenital babies had not had early and continuous prenatal care. And the other puzzling thing is no apparent increase in early syphilis among women in Philadelphia prior to finding these nine congenital babies. So what we've done to try to sort of figure out exactly what's going on, we worked with our EPI staff to develop an in-depth questionnaire to learn about the health-seeking behaviors of the mothers of these cases that I just talked to you about. And we're also going to be using this questionnaire on any cases reported in 2008. And it's going to ask them things like, why wouldn't you go to the doctor? they ask it better than that. Ask a lot of questions to sort of get to the point without, you know, figuring out a lot of different reasons why. If there were transportation issues, if there were financial issues, if the person was trying to keep the pregnancy a secret, maybe. So trying to get what was really behind not having prenatal care. So in summary, we had 9 cases of congenital syphilis reported in Philadelphia in 2007. And in the 5 years prior, we had 2 or fewer cases reported. And most of these cases could have possibly been prevented with early and regular prenatal care.
Okay, I expect quite a few questions on this paper, so hands are there, and then we'll...
Yes. Were all 9 cases live births? Yes, they were. So the question was, do you know how many of the women had came to the U.S. recently? I don't know offhand. I think I could say at least one of them. But again, even though they hadn't been in the U.S. recently, a lot of them were living in communities like the Vietnamese community where maybe they didn't speak English, and so it wasn't, I don't know if you're getting to maybe they were treated in another country or if you're getting to something else. But. Oh, okay. Be something to look at.
So, Melinda, your data are fascinating. What they're suggesting is that you probably have quite a large prevalent pool of undiagnosed syphilis in Philadelphia.
In women.
And there are 2 reasons, 2 data points which are suggesting that. First of all, although the majority of your cases among men are MSM, you have significantly more heterosexual male cases than female cases, so perhaps your partner notification efforts may not be as effective in identifying those females. And the second clue is that many of the women who were diagnosed actually didn't report male partners or the ones in their system. So that suggests to me that you probably have a complete network there of syphilis being transmitted within a very socioeconomically deprived or a particular network of the population. So how are you going to be tackling this? Because clearly waiting for people to come to the STD clinic is not going to work.
Right.
Don't you have access to practitioners? Other interventions you could think of to really cut into that population?
Well, I mean, for us it seems that the most important thing is to get the women into prenatal care. I mean, because the physicians are testing according to the regulations once the women get there. So to us it seems like that would be the most motivating thing for a person who is pregnant. So, you know, we are trying to work with our, we have a meeting scheduled with our maternal child and family health program. With the one who is 15, they are pregnant, programs for pregnant students in school. Unfortunately, this young woman had dropped out of school. So, you know, I agree with you. Sometimes I'm at a loss, though. I don't really know how to find these women. And it's still a lot. I mean, it's 9 cases, but it's still kind of a needle in a haystack when you're looking for syphilis. So.
Great. Some more questions. I'll stop at this one.
Long bone x-rays. Yes.
Thank you. There was a question here.
I'm sorry, when was it? They redid the regulations. I think it might have been in 2000, and they tried to throw it out because the regulations had been part, had been created when there was a very huge syphilis problem, like back in the 90s. And in 2000, I believe, Alex, maybe you can speak to that, my colleague in the back, but they tried to throw it out, and we, you know, we rallied around, we must keep these regulations strong.
I'd like two more questions on this side. Please, go ahead.
I have a question about if you have information about risk factors for the drug users, or do you have any of the risk?
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. I just ate some ice. Yes, I do have information on all that, because that is some of the information that we collected. I think, I'm sorry, I don't have the data right here with me. Three of the nine did report using drugs. I'm trying to think of what other risk factors we collected. We also looked at whether or not how many previous pregnancies they had, because someone had mentioned to us that, you know, if it's your fourth pregnancy, you may not go to the doctor because you feel like you know what you're doing, you know? So we did look at all that other, all those things, but we didn't see an overwhelming majority of the women having one or another risk factor. So it's probably a combination.
And I'll take one final question.
Three were not interviewed, yes. I know with one of them, she was actually born in New Jersey. The baby was born in New Jersey, but the mother gave a Philadelphia residence, and we went there and found the grandmother of the baby, but the mother, we just could never find her. The other two, I'm not sure the exact circumstances, but we are pretty thorough when it comes to following up on mothers of congenital cases. I mean, we definitely exhaust all of our possibilities. But we just could not locate them.